This is the July 15th, 2018 KPFK Local Station Board Meeting being held at 10:30 in beautiful Culver City at the Peace Center.
And it's now 10:51 and I'm taking roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
Sandy Childs?
Here.
Robert Eidman?
Roberta?
Roberta, sorry. Sorry. Stephen Franz?
Here.
I apologize. Jamie Gomez?
Here.
Jan Goodman?
Here.
Stephen Kaiser?
Here.
Maggie LaPeak?
Here.
Ali Lexas said he'll be late. Rob Makem?
Here.
Barbara Marbach, excused absence. Ishmael Parra, excused.
Requesting excused absence.
Reza Poor?
Here.
Steve Pride requesting excused absence. Dorothy Reich requesting excused absence. Myla Reason requesting excused absence. Lawrence Reyes?
Yeah.
Mansoor Sabah?
He's going to be
late. Lance Simmons?
Present.
Paulina Vasilla?
Here.
Fernando Velasquez?
Presenting.
Lisa Wong? Okay, Mr. Chairman, we have quorum 15 present.
Thank you very much. Okay. We have a report out from our last month's May local station board meeting, which is the KPFK local station board met in closed session to discuss confidential personnel matters at our executive session of May 2018. And do I have a motion to approve the proposed agenda?
I object.
Okay, well.
I want to address the notes.
Okay. We're not yet to the point of the minutes approval. We can discuss that when we get to it on the agenda. But first, we have to approve the proposed agenda. Any objections to approving the proposed agenda? Thank you, audience, for trying to assist, but I think I can handle it. Thank you. Hearing no objections to approve the proposed agenda, it is so approved.
Okay.
Ms. Goodman.
Are we supposed to set a time certain now or before we approve?
That's item F on the proposed agenda.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So at this point on the agenda, I will entertain a motion to excuse the absent requests.
So moved.
Are there any objections to excusing the absence requests?
Who are these people?
Excuse me, audience, please be respectful of the body,
yeah.
and don't interrupt us. Excuse me, audience.
Ignore Tourette's outburst.
Excuse me, audience.
Just ignore.
Excuse me. Let me handle this, board members. Excuse me, board members. Only one person has the floor right now. That's me. Okay, thank you. I'm asking the audience to please respect the board and not interrupt our meeting. Excuse me,
too, okay?
Local station board members, please refrain from inappropriate outbursts. Thank you. Okay, the excused absences have been approved without objection. I'll entertain a motion to approve the draft minutes. Okay, Mr. Reyes, yes?
I resent somebody categorizing someone with Tourette syndrome as to dismiss them.
Well, it's a special medical need,
And it's in the Disability Act.
Yeah, and so and I noted that said, it was an inappropriate outburst.
Yes.
I think it's an inappropriate outburst.
I believe
Mr.
so, too.
Kaiser should be admonished and asked not to be there.
Okay, well, I've been corrected on the admonishments by people more knowledgeable than myself. And if we as a board would like to, I don't want to say it's an admonishment, but if we want to censure a person based on their behavior, that would have to be done by the body, not me.
It's not censure. He's not asking for
that. Okay. I'm just asking.
But I did note that it was an inappropriate outburst. And I agree with you. So now, on the minutes that you had a correction or an addition?
Polina's name shall be stricken from the minutes because it was an accusation of a board member that was made towards her, and it was disparaging, and it should not be reflected in the minutes.
Okay, can you tell me where you're looking at on the minutes? B. Okay. Item B.
Yes.
Under one or under
two? Where? It's any.
Three?
Item B in the minutes.
One.
Yeah, so how would you like that corrected?
I like that corrected by removing Ms. Polina's name out of the minutes and so inserting that the accusation was made by a board member that had no basis to it.
Okay, that happened during closed session. And
well,
so
the request was made in open session, and that's what I'm referring to.
Okay, that discussion was during closed session, not during open session. There's no accusation here in the meetings, and it's inappropriate to have that in the open session minutes. So I'm going to rule that request for an addition to include an accusation in the minutes is out of order.
I like her name to be stricken.
Okay, so we could just say LSB member Marlena Bond with runner-up, period?
No, just say Representative Marlena Bond, period.
Pardon me? Point of order.
Okay, one moment. Is that sufficient? I'll just put a period after Bond and delete with runner-up Paulina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay.
Vasiliev.
That's what I said.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Aaron, you had a point of information?
Point of information. Isn't that the name of the person who replaced Marlena Bond? Who's now on the on the LSB?
Yeah, as noted in item C on the minutes.
So what's wrong with having, it's just a statement of fact, not character.
Okay.
Why are we? I can't concede to changing facts.
Okay. I thought I just asked if, and maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly. Did I, Mr. Secretary, correct me? Did I just ask if we could remove that? If there was any objection to removing that? No.
Yeah, I object.
Okay. So then
at
let's.
The time. There was much, but okay.
Okay, so let's take a vote on that, and we can do that by hand. The vote is to approve the modification to the minutes as per Lawrence Reyes's request, or no?
Which words?
Striking. Okay, so item B, we would place a period on the third line after the first word bond. And we would delete with runner-up Paulina Vasiliev. Okay. So if there's any objection to that modification of the minutes, I'm going to, we will say yes.
No, otherwise.
Okay, you go ahead. You
all right, all those in favor of striking the name out of the minutes, all those in favor of modifying the minutes, please raise your hand and keep them up. All those in favor of modifying the minutes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed? Two. Any abstentions?
Juan.
Okay, I am missing someone who must have. Did anyone come in while I wasn't looking?
No, it's 13-2.
It's 13-2.
But there was one abstention, so and I 16. And there's only 15 people here.
There was 16.
Who did I miss? Sorry.
The count was wrong. You counted Jan, I believe, as an abstention, and she did not abstain.
No, I counted Rob as an abstention. We have 16 people here?
We do have 16 people.
Okay. All right, let me, what am I? Oh, I found the problem. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay, we have 16 people. All right, never mind. I apologize.
So now I'm going to...
Well, it carries.
Right. So now I have to vote on approving the minutes. Are there any objections to approving the minutes at this point?
As modified.
No, it's as modified. I'm sorry. You're correct. Are there any objections to approving the minutes as modified? Hearing none, the minutes are hereby approved as modified. Okay. Mr. Secretary, you noted that we started about 10:51. I see that we have about 95 minutes on our agenda. Next item of business is to set time certain to adjourn. I'm thinking 12:30, 12:45, but I'll entertain a motion to set time certain. Ms. Goodman?
I move that time certain be set at 12:30.
Time set.
I second.
Is there any objection? Are there any objections to setting time certain for 12:30? Hearing none, time certain is set for 12:30. At this point in time, I'm sorry?
Chair, is there an executive session schedule?
No. There were executive session minutes included in the email, but we did not schedule an executive session. That was just from our prior executive sessions. Okay. Public, now is your turn to have public comments. I have 11 o'clock, so we can run till 11:15.
And how much time does each person have?
I'll take care of that.
Is there a microphone available?
Is there any reason why we didn't use the system today? The HI is not here. Oh, okay.
We have no system. Okay, I am ill with a lung issue, so I cannot speak very loud, but I have a good voice. If you listened to Pacifica KPFK, you would have never known, or you would never understand, that 300,000 voted for socialists during June 5th primary. A prominent socialist was just elected in New York City from Queens, left to Bernie Sanders. So all of you liberals got to stop your evil ways.
Never.
Or I will stop loving you. Of course, I stopped loving you some time ago. Okay, now, either KPFK... Yeah, I don't need your commentary.
And I think that was an inappropriate comment.
I agree.
He always comes up with...
Not just crosstalk, that was mean.
It is mean, but that is his character, that is his persona... That is his being.
Let's not have crosstalk, people. Thank you.
He's just a disgusting human being. Okay. If you get the Changelings July issue, you will see references to a letter that Jan Goodman sent out to kind of a private list. It got to me third party trying to fundraise over $20,000 or something like that for... You know, your friends for the next elections here and throughout the network. But we don't talk about what is it going to cost for all of us to run the elections here. Nothing has been finalized here. You have a lot of closed sessions. But this is up in the air. In the meantime, you're really trying to hit on the members of KPFK for your funding, so you can help your friends across the network and the people here to stay in office, get in office. all of this shit is going on while we don't even know the date when people have to sign up. We don't know the exact dates of when the elections is going to be open as noted per the bylaws. None of that has been talked about or decided upon. Okay, again, if KPFK does not want to cover on another topic, socialist issues, what good is it for? When things are moving under our feet so fast. So in my lifetime, there might be a socialist president. And when this happens, it's going to shake our world, and I will be alive to see that. I want the programming at KPFK to reflect what's going on out in the community, the discontent with the Democrats and the Republicans, not just cheap talk, as I hear all the time, by concerted effort, devoted programming with intelligent analysis and people being able to call in and dial in dialogue with the station, something that was done away with years ago, which is why we lost so many members, because we don't have intelligent people on air receiving those phone calls with the analysis, asking questions and being able to be dialogued with. That's what grows our listenership.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else from the public like to share?
Like to participate? Mr. Gary.
Yes, I'm one of the bourgeois liberals that my dear friend refers to.
But and I love you.
You're evil.
You're very different.
No cross calculation.
And I also happened to attend the meeting at which a outreach for funding was made by Jan Grimm. Thank you for the invitation. So she was doing what's also known as participating in the political process.
No kidding.
And I know that the people in other coalitions will do the same thing because they're not shy and they should be. And I hope the socialists come out and we have a robust, and you have your fundraising, and I hope we have a robust election. Thank you.
I hope so, too.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
I hope we do, too.
Are there any other public members that would like to share at this point?
I hope your pockets will be open for us, too.
Bella, would you like to share some more?
Anybody else wants to share? Men?
I don't know enough yet.
Are you kidding me?
No, that never stopped me.
You have opinions that are
stuck. Oh, I do.
Well, let's hear them. Let's hear them. Please, get out.
Tell us what your favorite show.
This is the time. This is that time when you're heard.
I really don't want to.
I want to see a board meeting.
Really? I haven't been to one in many years.
Wow. You're going to have to come back a few times. Okay, I'll finish by saying that I want this programming. We are looking finally for a program director. Man, I didn't think I was going to see this in my lifetime. But I hope that this person that comes in is connected to the community, as I've said before. It's bilingual. It can wear many hats. But I mean wearing many hats for the benefit of the station, for the benefit of growing membership. Also, I'm very concerned why we are taking so long to figure out what is going to work as far as software at the station for our accounting needs. Why is Pacifica taking so long in that area? And I want that to be finalized, and we don't have to spend so much money. We really have to just get one network program that works well. And we have to do away with the Memphis. The MEMSIS program needs to be done away with. It needs to be incorporated to be friendly with, and it's to be just to be, I am lost on.
Compatible.
Thank you so much. Compatible with the accounting program, but it needs to see that compatibility. Compatibility needs to be able to be seen, to handshake one program to the other, so that the entries, the journal entries, can be properly obtained from that program into the accounting program. Okay. I want to see balance sheets. When was the last balance sheet anybody saw here? Huh?
Thank you, Bella. Any other members of the public would like to participate?
Okay, you hit a nerve.
You need to get up, please.
Okay. I'm a financial person, Lita Shapiro. I know some of you.
Lydia Shapiro. Okay.
I was financial director for Council 36 at AFSCME for 5 years. And so I've done a lot of other nonprofits in finance. So that is a particular thing I'd be very interested in, have not been able to figure out where exactly and how the accounting and financial stuff works at the station or Pacifica. I'm assuming it's all of Pacifica. I saw some statements and there was nowhere to dig down and find answers.
No.
And as a financial person, I have a lot of questions about that. So that's really all I have to say.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comment from the public at this time? Okay, hearing none. I have about 11:08.
Mr. Chairman.
11:12. Okay. I'll buy my watch. Yes, Mr. Simmons?
I would just like it to be noted for the record that this is not an insignificant difference. A socialist was not elected. A democratic socialist was elected. And that is important because democracy is the formation of how decisions are made. So when referring to both Bernie Sanders, who is a Democratic Socialist, and Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, she is a Democratic Socialist. So I just want that to be clarified.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Simmons. Mr. Kaiser?
Well, addressing what the folks are talking about, the financial statements, we do have the 2016 financial statement in place. Where can we see this so we can see a balance sheet and income statement and such?
Okay, I'm going to save that for the director's reports so that you can ask those questions during our director's reports.
All right.
And that is the next item of business, is to hear the director's reports. But first, I'm going to call on Mr. Reyes, who had his hand up.
Thank you, Chair. So I also wanted to be noted in the agenda. It was my oversight before we approved the agenda. That committee reports are not reflected in that. And we haven't had committee reports in quite some time. So
noted.
Okay. So let's move on to the director's reports. Ms. Aaron, would you like to begin?
By perhaps answering Mr. Kaiser's question.
Okay.
We're talking about Mr. Kaiser's question. We're going to have questions and answers later.
Sure. The 2016 audit, which has an update, a financial update up to the present, or up till the completion of that audit, is right on the Pacifica.org website. Let me see if I can find it. And that has a lot of financial information in it. The same place where you can find it at Pacifica.org are also the... let's see. It says on the top of the page, it says financials, and if you scroll down to 2016, it says independent audit for 2016. And then also there's the 990 federal tax form for 2016 there. Now, you can also compare that with the 2015 audit, the 2014, 13, et cetera. So that gives you a comparison of the total revenue, total expenses broken down for the whole foundation and by station.
But no balance sheet.
So
has to be a balance sheet.
Okay, so I think that answers that question. I mean, that's where you're going to find the most authoritative information about Pacifica finances at the moment.
Okay, anything else that you would like to report as a director?
Okay, yes. The there was an effort on the national board. It was in Thursday before last. There was an open session. It can be accessed at KPFTX.org is where a lot of the Pacifica meetings are archived. And there's an audio of the public meeting a week ago last Thursday. I forget the exact date. But anyway, in that meeting, there was a motion brought forth by a director from New York, William Heerwagen, to postpone the local station board elections. That was defeated by a vote of, I believe it was, 12 to 7 or 8. So there will be elections this year. A request for proposals has been sent out broadly. The executive director has received from some proposals. He's doing a careful job of looking through the proposals, and I assume we'll be hiring a national election supervisor soon. The election will have to be delayed. The timeline delineated in the bylaws cannot possibly be met at this time because we unfortunately were busy on the national board and in the national office with other pressing matters like avoiding bankruptcy. So the timeline will be adjusted, but from everything I've heard so far, there will be an election starting pretty soon. But we don't know exactly when the nomination period is going to be opened yet. That will happen after the hiring of a national election supervisor. I think it's just as well, personally, my personal opinion is it's just as well that there's a delay because we have been saving money in the last few elections by sending the ballots out by bulk mail. And if we send the ballots out by bulk mail during the...
first class.
I don't think so. I think they were sent out. Okay, whatever.
We would say by bulk mail anyway.
Okay. Anyway, I think that it's wiser to, personally, it's my opinion that it's wiser to send out the ballots in mid-November to avoid the midterm election flood of mails in all of our mailboxes. So that's my own personal opinion. I have nothing to do with it. No directors or LSB members have anything to do with the election because everybody on the local station boards and the national boards has a conflict of interest. So the bylaws specifically gave the authority over the elections to the executive director to hire a national election supervisor. Then the national election supervisor is autonomous in conducting the elections per the bylaws. There should be no interference, maybe help, but no interference from any local station board members or any directors of the foundation.
That's the state we're in is getting that election director, right?
Okay,
let's wait for questions.
Let's wait for questions.
Okay, so that's with the elections. Now, the next thing is we hired, I think I mentioned this in the last report, we hired an accounting firm to take over most of our financial functions, including the CPA functions and other tasks that were being done by employees in the national office. The firm was hired about 2 or 3 weeks ago. The name of the firm is NIDA. I don't know the
names.
It's the initials are NIDA, N-E-T-A. And they're on the job now. One representative from NIDA was present on a couple of national board meetings and the Finance Committee meeting. So And they're on the job. They're visiting the stations to look over the finances. We also hired the audit committee, recommended the hire of an audit firm for the 2017 audit. So that's been done. And I think it's Rogers and Company. So the 2017 audit will be starting soon. I mean, that's coordination between NETA, the accounting firm taking over the accounting functions, and the audit firm. We're also, Tom Livingston is also working on resolving the pension plan situation. Now, let's see what else. Oh, yes, the loans. All right, so there's some confusion about the loans, so I'll explain the loans. There was I will read an email that was sent to me from, Tom Livingston, because I asked him about the loan situation. Let me paraphrase this. The big loan, the FJC loan, was originally $3.7 million. That was based on four pieces of collateral. The three buildings owned by Pacifica that house stations, the KPFA building, KPFK building, and KPFT building. But also, that wasn't enough to collateralize the loan, because the FJC lender wanted to keep the loan-to-value ratio at about one-third of the total value of the properties. That's a rather low loan-to-value ratio, which allowed them to give us a lower interest rate than we would get from other lenders. So that the collateral in those three buildings was not enough to cover a loan of $3.7 million. So the person who negotiated this added the KPFK tower as part of the collateral package. It turns out that our tower, even though we do not own the land that it's sitting on, is worth probably about $1 million, which was a surprise to me.
Excuse me, Grace. You went over this last month.
Okay, so you don't want me to go over it again?
I don't want to do it.
Okay, so the tower was taken out of the collateral package, and loan was reduced to 3.265 million. However, the Nakapon building, another building that we owned in Berkeley, was sold for $1.1 million. Of the proceeds of the loan, the supporters' loan was paid off in full, and a certain amount of money was set aside, $379,000 was put in a reserve fund to give us an 18-month buffer, and automatically the funds from that account will be used to pay off the FJC interest on the FJC loan. So that's about all I have to report, I think.
Okay, thank you. We're going to finish hearing from the directors, and then we'll go into questions and answers for the directors. Mr. Alexander, do you have a report?
I have very little to report this month, but I believe a member of the public spoke about the national accounting software. So as I reported last month, we have long since made our transition to the newer version of Great Plains. All of Pacifica's accounting is done in Great Plains. And it's modern hardware and software, and much more secure.
Including WBA.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
Yes, their finances are in WBA. They're done in different ways.
We can't hear you, Alexander.
Mr. Kaiser had a question. He said, including WBAI, yes, all seven Pacifica units' finances are done in Great Plains, although some of the individual stations still do keep smaller portions and they do their accounting in their own way, but the bulk of the business and vendors and all that stuff, it's done through the Great Plains system, and everybody seems to like it right now.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
Mr. Savant?
Why don't you let Jan do it, please, and then I'll come back.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. So, thank you, Ms. Aaron, for the report, because she did the bulk of the reporting. One of the things that the National is now considering is doing national programming and having there's a strategic planning group has been created on the national level committee, and then it has several subcommittees, including one called programming, and there is now under consideration doing creating national programming so that we start acting more like a network and less like individual friendly stations. So that is in the progress. It's being discussed right now. One of the ideas is to have an hour of national programming. I'm not sure if it's every day or every week that various stations would be contributing to, that they'd be required to contribute a program, and also be required to carry programs from this national stream. And another idea that's being discussed is having a national internet stream that would have programming from all of the stations and maybe affiliates. It's just in the discussion stages, but I think it's a really exciting idea so that we can have, like, the best of Pacifica on the air. Another item, which may seem small, but I think has really contributed a lot to the more collegial nature of the PNB, is that we've had a professional parliamentarian on each of the calls this year, and we made it official that we're going to be paying him, and he is going to be, his name is Mr. Tatum. I can't remember his first name. John Tatum, yes. And so it's very handy to have a parliamentarian, not just handy, important to have a parliamentarian answer parliamentary questions as they come up. It's made the meetings much smoother, and I think it's worth noting. Also, with regard to the pension plans, there are these various issues with regard to the pension plans, and we've retained a firm that is competent and skilled in dealing with federal pension plans, which we have not had in the past. The name of that firm is Trucker Huss, and they have come with very high recommendations by people that are familiar with that field of law. And there was something else related to that I was going to say.
Anita from audit?
Pardon?
Audit?
Oh, we already talked about the audit, the fact that the audit is in process again, which is the earliest that we've had an audit going forward. 2016 is already done. For years gone by, we've been like years late on getting the audit done. So hopefully the audit will be done soon. And we've allocated the money to do it. We also, the Personnel Committee of the national board has been working on two items. One is getting a national handbook actually approved, and so we had hired a lawyer to review the handbook, and it is, I think hopefully by the next meeting, our next meeting, it will be approved by the PNB, which will be extremely helpful. And we also have the search for the National Executive Director is moving along, and it's been narrowed. They've put out advertising in many, many forums, as well as all the stations, and it's been narrowed down to about 12 people, and then that's going to be narrowed down to 8. Then there's going to be video interviews, and we don't know how. Then the last 3 will somehow also be interviewed by the national board. We don't know exactly how that's going to happen, but I think within 2 months or so we should have a national, should have chosen a new executive director. So that's exciting news. And I think that's all that I think is, really the highlights of what's gone on.
Thank you, Ms. Goodman.
I'm going to take
Mansoor.
It's already covered all the issues you guys.
Thank you, Mansoor. One moment. I'm going to take a stack for questions and answers. One moment. Just keep your hands raised so I can make my list.
Did you want point of order? Did you last point of order, Chair?
One moment. Okay. Thank you. I have the stack. Your point of order, Mr. Aaron.
Did you want to? I believe in the previous meetings you included the treasurer report before the Q&A.
No, there's a Q&A for the directors. And the treasurer's report, then a Q&A for the treasurer. Okay? So, Paulina, you can go first.
Thank you. I have a question for Grace about the lender agreement, the loan agreement, that the loan that was initially going to be $3.7 million. So you mentioned public letter that was written in response to a listener's request, Tom Livingstone, I think you said. In that summary of the agreement with the lender, there is an item included that is called an underwriting agreement, which, and I'll quote, which says, 1 second. Basically, it mentions, it says the following, that an initial draft of the underwriting agreement would have required Pacifica, in lieu of an origination fee to lender, to pay 1% of the loan proceeds to a nonprofit organization called FYI, Inc. That organization would, in turn, have made grants to nonprofits who would then purchase underwriting credits to be aired on Pacifica stations. A revised version of the underwriting agreement does not require an initial set-aside by Pacifica, but reserves lenders' right to propose underwriting credits for nonprofits, quote, as Pacifica develops the capacity over the term of the loan, end quote. So my question is, have we agreed to sell underwriting credits and as part of the loan agreement, A, and B, what is the role of FYI? FYIEIYY is how it's spelled, Inc., which is a nonprofit that sells which is a company that works with nonprofits, 501c3s only, to develop advertisement campaigns. So what agreement do we have with that firm, and are we going to now sell underwriting as part of Pacifica?
Okay, if you will please send me an email with that specific question.
No, let's research it.
Okay.
You're out of line, out of order.
Right now, I have not researched the loan documents or what you're saying. So if you send me your question and the email you're referring to, I will research it and send the answer to the local station board.
Thank you.
I don't have an answer for you right now.
Okay. Lawrence?
Yes. Underwriting has always been historically... discouraged, because it's a way of us commercializing our listeners and corporatizing our listeners as well. My question, and I look forward to that answer from Paulina's question. My question to the directors, in particular Grace, since she reported on the election and the violation of the bylaws and the election timeline. What is the ceiling in regards to the RFPs that are being taken? What is the financial ceiling, if there is one, for taking the RFPs from vendors? And then I have a follow up.
Are you saying incentive?
What is the ceiling?
Oh, the ceiling. Ceiling. I just didn't understand that.
You did not understand the
email. Okay, ceiling. Thank you.
How much would we be paying? What is the range?
Let me just clarify. Thank you, Alessandro. Let me clarify. What I'm trying to ascertain from the directors is there a financial ceiling for the National Election Supervisor and for vendorizing the elections? You know, who's going to be counting, and how much is that going to cost? Is there been a financial, salary, is there, and maybe you can't discuss salary right now, but is there a financial ceiling in regards to accepting requests for proposals?
Okay, can I respond?
Is that understood?
Yeah.
I do understand it. I'd like to say that in the request for proposals, there was no financial range for the salary for that position. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is I did some research to find out what the cost was of the last three elections, and it ranged between about $158,000 to $120,000, something in that range for the total election costs. Our financial reporting for this foundation is so dysfunctional that I have not been able to find a breakdown of exactly how much was paid to the national election supervisors, to the local election supervisors, the cost for the printing. We need a detailed analysis of all the expenses of the elections, and how much was paid in salaries, how much was paid for the company that tabulates the elections, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have that. That's now being researched by Tom Livingston. Really, we hired the accounting firm because our financial accounting is really, really a mess. It's very, very deficient. So that's part. I would say that the cost of the National Election Supervisor will be in the range of maybe, just as an estimate, somewhere between $25,000 and $40,000. But I don't know, and there's nobody has given a cost or anything like that in the RFPs.
Mr. Reyes, your follow-up question that you had?
My follow-up, in the analysis that you've done thus far, if it's a fair question, do you see a range?
I just told you that. I would, ballpark, I would say somewhere in the range of between, let's say, $20,000 and $45,000 for the expenses of the National Election Supervisor, but that's an uneducated guess. I'm just giving a guess from the total amount, from my understanding of the costs of mailing and printing the ballots, and the vendor who does that was True Ballot in one of the elections and Simply Voting in another one. They charge for printing and mailing and tabulating the results and so on and so forth. So we do not have a breakdown, or I don't have access to a breakdown of the actual election expenses from the two prior elections.
Thank you, Grace. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, our hope is to be about 100 to 120 altogether, but there's no breakdown yet. So if we are successful with 100, that's wonderful. 20,000 per station.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. Ken, you're next on the stack.
No, I just had a point of order. I don't have any questions.
Okay. Fernando?
I do have a question for Ms. Grace Aaron. The expected impartiality that we like to see in an election supervisor, I like to think that we do have a criteria to select someone for that position. In the last election, we had one of those veteran programmers that like to spend all night programming at KPFK, attacking the ruling faction and favoring the faction, the slate that became the winner of that election, which is sitting around this table today. What is the criteria that we have to select the next neutral, impartial national election supervisor, given our past experience?
I don't understand your question. What do you mean criteria? What does that mean?
One would think that the executive director, whoever he or she is, will choose someone neutral, impartial for that post. In the past, we have not had that good luck. How can the executive director hire someone who will not be representing his or her interest?
First of all, to my understanding, the last two national election supervisors have been very good. Lynn Serpy was one of them, and L. Joy Williams was the other one. They were very impartial, as far as I could tell. Now, I'm not going to say they were perfect, but if you have complaints about them specifically, you should write them up, but, you know, keep that confidential. But so I don't see any track record of impartial or factionalized hires of national election supervisors, and I don't expect that to happen in this election.
Stephen Kaiser, you're next.
Well, as far as I understand the elections, we're already behind. The nominations should have closed at the end of last month. I don't think we can wait for the selection of the National Executive Director. This is something that should be under the purview of Livingston, that we get this election up and running, selecting whoever it is that's going to run this so that we can get it into place and get this into camp. It seems to me that, Grace, if we wait till the middle of November to send out the ballots, we have a 6-week voting window, if we understand. That's going to put it at the end of the year. Yeah, I think we need Also, what is the audit for 2017 slated to be finished? Is there any idea on that, Mansoor?
Regarding the audits, she was Anita. She is expecting 2 to 3 months, but as Grace and Jan has said, that our finance are really chaotic, our paperwork are not there, especially with the two of the stations. So we emphasized when she was on the finance committee last week, we emphasized to her that it's very urgent for us to have the audit done in order to be eligible for CPB money. So she understands where we're at and what needs to be done. However, you know, it's going to happen.
Grace, unless I was mistaken, you said the last three elections was about 120 to 157, 157,000 for the whole election. from what you saw for the last three? I think Lawrence was asking that question about the overall cost of the election.
Yeah, okay. I got those figures from the 2016, 2015, 2014 audits.
Okay.
If you go to the audits for those years, you will find a line item, which is election expenses. And that's where the total election expenses is for those years. So,
and one last point is, are we looking to hire a national programming director like we have in the local stations? That would coordinate, you know, picking the great programming that we're producing at the individual stations and making that available to all of us.
I think you should direct that to, because they're Jan and Mansur are on the national
strategic plan. Address
that. Well, basically, at this moment, we don't have the funds to actually hire anybody. We're basically, you know, we don't have hardly the funds to do anything. So I think that the idea is that we would retain a volunteer and maybe have, this is just in the discussion stages, and maybe have an honorarium of $1,000 a month, you know, to just get it started. But a lot of people think that this is a really good idea to start getting to moving on this as soon as possible, because, for obvious reasons. I mean, it should get our listenership up. We will be trying to find our top programs that get lots of listeners. So, but we don't have the funds right now to pay anybody, but we'll probably be searching for kind of a volunteer.
At the national level, we only have enough funds for the executive director himself or herself, right?
Well, you know,
there's office staff that around the executive director, that's it, on national offices.
Yes.
Ali?
Yeah, two questions for Jan. Can you step to the side?
Can you stack for me, please?
He's just recording.
No, I just want to see her when I talk to her. You mentioned the pension and hiring a firm to deal with the pension. Are you talking about resolving the outstanding pensions or pension plan moving forward? Can you sort of specify what's going on with that?
Sure. So there are two basic pension plans, and the accounting for them is kind of a mess. The good news is that we're not in violation of some federal laws that we could have been breaking. You know, that every penny that that staff put into pension plans from their funds got into the proper pension plans. So that's the good news. The bad news is the accounting is messed up. There's questions about whether some things were required to be put in by Pacifica, or if they were not required. So just trying to straighten all that stuff out. Does that answer? So Trucker Huss has been hired to deal with the legal issues with regard to all of that, and to straightening out the, you know, what the requirements are. And there's also, this is another important item, is that we also, the third-party administrator who was administering the pension plans resigned, and the people who were on the pension plan committee resigned. So a new committee has been formed,
and
Livingston are on it.
Carol Travis.
Yes.
And Carol Travis are on the so that this new committee has been formed to which the PNB has delegated the task of seeing that these things were taken care of. So we're moving forward on that, and you know, part of what we have to do is find out how much money is owed to the pension plans and to each individual account, and also to be able to fund that. And part of the problem, and maybe this is going too much into details, but it helped me understand what was going on. Part of the problem is that because one of the pension plans is such that it's undifferentiated, like all the money goes in and everybody has a certain percentage of it, that you can't, like, KPFK, although it has the money to put into the pension plan, can't put the money into the pension plan unless all the other stations put their money in at the same time. And that's part of the federal, that's because of the federal rules regarding that particular kind of pension plan and the pension plan rules itself. So that's one of the things that that Trucker Huss is trying to figure out, is how to, like, actually put the money in. So the money is probably what we've agreed to, is that the money that's supposed to go into the pension plan from the for instance, KPFK, can go into the trust lawyer's trust account for the union and wait there while this stuff is being figured out. So that's the problem, is that you can't just, okay, we have the money, we'll put it in, we wanted to do that, but then we were told we couldn't do that. So that's you know, so it's not as simple as you would think, as I would think.
Okay, I have a few questions.
Go ahead.
And the other question,
Grace wants to add to...
Is anybody keeping track of time for